guys. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. You can get more at ApologiaRadio.com. Actually, ApologiaStudios.com. That's A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A Studios.com. I'm Jeff, they call me the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
And Joy the Girl.
Hello.
We got Marcus Pittman, King Ginger on the ones and twos. And, of course, we have our regular crew right now behind the cameras making all this content available for you all. We are thrilled.
Yes.
About this particular episode. Mm-hmm. We have a guest with us today on the television show that is someone that is he's a hero of ours. He's a hero of my son. My son has spent years listening to this gentleman, this brother. He's a gift to the church, and we have been waiting to do this for a while now. We've had him on once before, and I encourage you guys to go to apologiaradio.com to go check out that episode. We are going to have on Dr. George Grant, the Kings Meadow Study Center. You can get him at kingsmeadow.com. Dr. Grant has an amazing curriculum I really want to encourage you guys to get. If you guys do homeschool or not, if you just want just a fantastic study, you can't do better than Dr. George Grant. He has an amazing curriculum. My son has gone through all of it. He's actually graduating tomorrow, and he's a history ninja.
Yeah.
Because of Dr. George Grant. And so, Dr. Grant, welcome back to Apologia TV.
It is great to be with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
What a great plug.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There you go. It's our pleasure. Dr. Grant, we had you on before to talk a bit about, I believe it was American history, that episode we focused in upon. You really are a gift when it comes to telling the history of God's providence. And this is one thing that Sage, my son, said he really, really loves about listening to your lectures, is that you obviously have a biblical worldview, but when you tell the story of history, you give the true story, warts and all, and that's always very, very helpful and encouraging. You wrote a book, and the name of the book is Killer Angel, and it's actually the story of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Can you get us into this discussion? Tell us, first of all, why did you write a book on Margaret Sanger?
Well, Margaret Sanger is the founder of the world's most prosperous, the largest, and the most profitable nonprofit organization, Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is Abortion Inc. And the founder of Planned Parenthood had a very, very clear worldview agenda that was aimed at not just reproductive care for women, not just choice, not just abortion, but kind of a global revolution of cultural change, using human sexuality as the means by which to drive this revolution. And I felt like it was an important story to tell. It was a backdrop to our current conflicts, both budgetary and cultural, both in the church and outside the church. So I felt like it was a really important story to tell. An incredibly influential woman, someone that has had continuing influence. Hillary Clinton, for instance, counts Margaret Sanger is one of her great heroes. Barack Obama declared that she was one of the great heroes of the last century. Her bust appears in the Smithsonian Institution as one of the great pioneers of women's rights. And so this is a story that needed to be told. But unfortunately, only tidbits of the real story have ever been told outside of academia. So I wanted to do something really accessible and popular for Christians, and yet at the same time, substantial enough to hold up to the weight of the argument.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Grant, now I guess this would be a good place to start this conversation and at least leap off from here. The common claim from Planned Parenthood supporters and people who are involved in this industry, when you bring up the issue of Sanger, as you do in this book, they'll say, well, that's all in the past, and there's really obviously no way to avoid a lot of the quotations from Sanger that are just horrible. But they'll say, well, that's really in the past, Dr. Grant. None of that's relevant today. That's not who Planned Parenthood is today. But do you see there a real, do you see there to be a real connection between Planned Parenthood, its founder, and what she believed to where we're at today with Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, I think the only thing that has changed from the worldview of Margaret Sanger and the present structure, operations, vision, goals, scope and sequence of programming for Planned Parenthood, the only real difference is in the care and sophistication of the language. But the worldview remains exactly the same, which is why every year Planned Parenthood still gives the Margaret Sanger Award. Imagine the various people in the past that we say that we distance ourselves from. Imagine a Christian organization giving an award for, say, a past Civil War general or from the South or a former slave trader or something like that. We can say all day long it's in the past, but if the biggest award that Planned Parenthood can give every year is the Margaret Sanger Award, that tells us something.
It certainly does.
But in addition to that, the whole structure of why Planned Parenthood does what it does and what the programs that Planned Parenthood undertakes actually are, all are derived directly from Margaret Sanger and from her original vision.
So how do people rationalize turning her into a hero? Like, what are some actual, so if I were to say, oh, well, Sanger was a racist, what are some responses I would get from people? I know that, like, people will say, I've heard abortions, Planned Parenthood didn't do abortions until 1970 after she was dead. So, what are some actual responses that you'll get from people when you say things like, she was racist, or she killed people, or ABC?
Well, first of all, she was arguing for family limitation by any means possible.
Right.
She was also closely allied with the Nazi eugenics and genetics programs. People like Dr. Ernst Rudin, who designed Hitler's euthanasia program, people like Lothrop Stoddard, who wrote some of the most inflammatory, racist eugenics books, were all not only featured speakers at Planned Parenthood's initial conferences, but wrote articles for the Birth Control Review.
Hang on, Dr. Grant, to that. Hang on. Right, we'll be right back, guys. Apologia TV, amazing episode. Be right back. Stay with us. All right, guys, we're back. Apologia TV, Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl, I'm the Ninja, and we're on with Dr. George Grant, Kings Meadow Study Center. You can get him at kingsmeadow.com. We're talking about his book, Killer Angel, Margaret Sanger, and we cut off there, Dr. Grant, and you were talking about Margaret Sanger's connection to Nazi eugenics and some pretty popular people in that crowd. I want to let you finish that thought.
Yeah, Dr. Ernst Rudin, Lothrop Stoddard, a number of the most prominent of the early National Socialist and racist pioneers of eugenics were heroes and friends of Margaret Sanger, wrote for the Birth Control Review, spoke as featured speakers at Margaret Sanger's conferences. So the question really was, that Joy asked, was, look, if you talk to current Planned Parenthood folks, they will say, oh, that was in the past. We don't use rhetoric like that. She was a woman of her time, which is the sort of credit that we'd love to be able to give to flawed Christians in the past, but we're not ever allowed to.
Right.
But the problem is that all of the worldview ideas that lay behind those principles are still functional and very prominent in the programs and the policies that Planned Parenthood carries out today. So, for instance, where are the school-based abortion and birth control clinics? They're all in lower-income communities. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, because those lower-income communities are the ones that were targeted by the population control and the eugenics programs that Planned Parenthood popularized in the earliest days. Mm-hmm. That there's a real clear reason for that. And that is that they want to usher in a cultural revolution that is able to undermine Christian ethics by means of a sexual revolution. But that is to drive a radical leftist agenda. And here's where we can see it most clearly. Margaret Sanger, who was one of the early labor agitators for the IWW called the Wobblies, the radical communist organization, a disciple of Emma Goldman, who was an anarchist and really supported international terror, they were a part of a radical leftist agenda that wanted to see a political change in the United States that would usher in coercive governmental programs to control all health decisions by a small elite of all Americans.
Yeah.
And then eventually all the world. This is the vision of the left-wing National Socialists in Germany under Adolf Hitler. It was the same kind of agenda that you see in places like Communist China today or in Soviet Russia under Stalin. That was what she wanted. Well, if you look at, say, the platform of the Democratic Party today, it follows that same agenda with that same kind of radical both ethics-bending and gender-bending mindset that was once called mental illness and is now called political correctness.
Yeah,
that's what Planned Parenthood was all about. Now, obviously, there's an economic factor that figures into this because abortion and the the driving engines of this cultural revolution are moneymakers. Especially if you can get the government to pay for them. Mm-hmm. And so there's an economic element here. But what we've got to see, we've got to back away from just the smaller details and even the big moral issues like the killing of children and realize that this is more than just killing a whole generation of minority children. This is about ushering in a radical cultural revolution. It's a worldview shift that Planned Parenthood is after.
And Dr. Grant, could you talk? I'd love for you to expatiate upon that particular point. And in light of kind of where we're at today, this it's accepted. I mean, not everyone obviously accepts it, but it's generally the bias of the mainstream media to support Planned Parenthood and their agenda. And we talk about that worldview shift that's taken place and how dramatic that is in our day. But Dr. Grant, when Sanger was really launching some of these things and trying to propagate these things, what kind of resistance was present in terms of really opposing her movement? What was happening when this stuff really started taking root? Was there big conflict, or was it just open and she just launched this and it just permeated the culture? What did it look like then? Do we have any idea?
Yes, absolutely. Initially, most of the things that she did were illegal. Mm. She was actually arrested. She fled from justice for a year.
Wow.
Went to England, where she associated with a number of people like Havelock Ellis and H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw, and kind of furthered her education in the revolutionary mindset. So at one point, she fled from justice. When she came back, she faced jail time.
Okay.
And this was a jail time for both practicing medicine without any sort of a license. Oftentimes you'll hear Planned Parenthood describe Margaret Sanger as a nurse.
Yeah.
Well, she went to nursing school for a couple of months, but dropped out.
Ah.
She was never a nurse.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I have heard that claim. Yes.
The other thing is that there were obscenity laws in those days, and she violated the obscenity laws, both local jurisdictional obscenity laws, as well as national obscenity laws that the U.S. Postal Service enforced. Mm-hmm. So she violated all of those obscenity codes. And then, of course, she faced a tremendous amount of backlash from both the established political community, people like Teddy Roosevelt, for instance, saw her as public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the really sad part of this story. Particularly in the South, where she appealed to racism, as well as in northern industrial cities like Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, New York, places across the Rust Belt in Pennsylvania and Ohio, she was able to appeal to the baser instincts of bigotry and discrimination and started to make headway without the resistance of the church.
Mm.
Mm.
She was fighting her battle most prominently during the days of the modernist fundamentalist conflict, during which time most Bible-believing Christians retreated from culture.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And the result was is that it was people like the president of the American Medical Association or former President Teddy Roosevelt or some governors in various states who took a courageous stand, but without the backing of the church. The church was largely absent, and it was into the vacuum of the church's absence, its lack of courage in that particular moment in time, that she was able to exploit. She used anti-Catholic bigotry, and she used sort of the typical slight against fundamentalists, which was that they were uneducated and they had retreated from culture and they were really bumpkins and they weren't interested in science, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds so familiar.
She used all of that to gain great political advantage, and that's how the revolution was won.
Tremendous. It's compelling. Yeah. So just, we're about to go to a break here, Dr. Grant, but what would you describe, or what would you say was Sanger's heyday? What is the period of time so we get a fix on it in our minds? What was her heyday? When did she really begin to get traction and become so popular and really turn this nation on its head? What was that time period?
Well, mostly from the end of World War II, all the way up until the 1960s.
Okay, fantastic.
That was her heyday.
Okay. All right, guys, be right back, guys. Dr. George Grant, Kings Meadow Study Center, kingsmeadow.com. Stay with us. Final segment. Welcome back to Apologia TV. On today with Dr. George Grant. I encourage you to go to kingsmeadow.com, get the curriculum to start a study at your church, get it for your kids who are homeschooling, doing co-ops, whatever. You will be very, very grateful for those resources. Dr. Grant wrote a book called Killer Angel. It is the story of Margaret Sanger. We just finished a discussion talking about the worldview issues, the cultural revolution stuff. I mean, she really was a revolutionary, and the sexual revolution, the eugenics stuff. And so I'll let you, Pastor Luke, go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah. So obviously as Christians, we want to always be fair and truthful, even to someone as evil as Margaret Sanger was. And we've experienced some of this. There's a lot of misquotes from her floating around dim internets. They're all over. They're really easy to find. And this is, again, something we've encountered where, you know, even people that we know and love that are very respectful and prominent in the Christian community have been guilty of misquoting her. And so I guess my question is, where do we go? What's a good source to accurately quote some of the stuff she said? Specifically, I'm thinking of the weeds quote, where she compared Slavs and the Jews and stuff to human weeds. And
human weeds, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess where'd be a good source to go to even test to make sure that if someone is presenting something about her, that it's accurate and truthful?
Well, first of all, she published a number of books.
Okay.
And while she did two autobiographies, she became increasingly sophisticated through the years and sort of sanitized her autobiography. But there are a number of good academic biographies. All are left-wing and all are very sympathetic, but all are fairly honest as well. Madeline Gray's is, I think, sort of a go-to. It's been out of print for a number of years, but you can find it still. And you can find Margaret Sanger's own books still. You have to search for them through antiquarian book sources, but I have all of her books.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to read her books. There were books that were published of several of the conferences when papers were presented, and she wrote the forewords to two of them. One of them was in a conference that she held in New York in 1924, and she wrote the foreword to the book and a whole series of papers, including a couple from her. Those are good sources. I've tried to document pretty carefully in Killer Angel. My much larger books on Planned Parenthood include Grand Illusions, and I did another book entitled Immaculate Deception. I did a book on RU46 called The Quick and the Dead. I did a history of the pro-life movement called Third Time Around. All of those attempt to document things pretty carefully.
Okay.
Randy Alcorn is a fine writer who has documented sources in his two larger pro-life books that I highly recommend. So there are good sources out there. There are some spurious quotes. There are also some variations of quotes. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have to remember is that there were, long before there was an internet, long before Twitter and all of that, where we could digitally document things, somebody like Margaret Sanger would have stump speeches where she would go out and speak at various events, and she would use the same stump speech and use the same phrases, oftentimes with small variations. And so, you know, I take a J.R.R. Tolkien approach to the question of myth and misquotes. And that is, before you're quick to assign it as a misquote, just simply because you can't find it on Google, do a little bit more thorough research, and you may indeed find either in secondary sources or sometimes in primary sources, you can find variations of the same quote multiple times.
Well, I wanted to do a fun little thing that we've done once before.
Yeah.
Where I go look at the reviews of the person's book that we're talking to.
Okay.
And then I find a fun review. So this one's actually a critical review. They gave you 1 star. I apologize, but you'll see there's kind of a misunderstanding here. This is from Jenny J, and she said, "What a horrible person she was. Hopefully the killing of unborn babies will stop." So I think Jenny may have thought she was rating Margaret Sanger as opposed to your book. So you know, you can feel a little bit better that at least one of your 1 star reviews was more revelatory of Margaret Sanger as opposed to your book.
Yes.
My favorite review came from Planned Parenthood of Grand Illusions. And they called me an exceedingly pretentious redneck with an ostentatious vocabulary. I thought that was great.
Wow. I love that. Is amazing.
My highest compliment was a bad review from the Village Voice.
Review from the Village Voice.
Yeah, you know, I figure if you get a bad review from the Village Voice, that's about as great as it gets. That's like getting an endorsement from Francis Schaeffer.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Dr. Grant, we're going to go into an after show just for a bit, guys. So if you guys want to see an extension of this show and our after show, just go to apologiastudios.com. You guys can get connected to our church. You can support us on our mission, partner with us as we bring the gospel around the world and so many different issues. It's just sign up for all access. You get every TV show, every after show, and Apologia Academy, where you get a lot of training in theology, worldview, apologetics, all that stuff from some great, great teachers. And so we're going to continue this with Dr. Grant over there. Let me ask you, we've got about a minute left here before we go to our after show, Dr. Grant. Let me ask you, what do you think is, from your perspective, the most important thing for those who would consider themselves pro-life, what should they be saying right now? Mm. What's the message we should be actually bringing into this context right now? In light of all that Sanger did and the worldview flip and cultural revolution, what should we be saying?
We should be proclaiming the gospel.
Amen.
Very simply.
Yes.
It's the gospel that is the answer. Yep. If we argue statistics, if we argue demographics, if we argue politics, then we get into percentage point ping pong.
Yes.
But if we're proclaiming the truth of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is real change in the offing. The future of the world really depends upon the church being the church.
Yes.
The future of the battle for life really depends upon our proclamation of the word of life, the Prince of life, the champion of life, the gospel of life.
We'll be right back, guys. Get us in the after show. Thank you for watching. All right, everyone, welcome to the after show on today with Dr. George Grant. It's amazing. I absolutely love that we have this episode now to be able to share and communicate these things. And so, first of all, I want to say as we start the after show, if you're watching this right now, it's because you guys partner with us as a church. You make everything that we do possible, and that means so much to us. Mm-hmm. So we're so very thankful for you guys. Some of you guys have been with us since the very, very beginning. And everything that you see coming from Apologia Church, the teaching arm of our church, the outreach, the evangelism, it's made possible because of you, because you partner with us as a church. So first and foremost, thank you very, very much. It means so much to us. We wanted to do just a little bit of an after show here with Dr. Grant while we have some time. Dr. Grant, thank you again for being with us today. On the show.
My joy.
Thank you for writing these books and for all the stuff that you've done. Thank you. You've really impacted my son and my family. And so we are very, very thankful for you. Dr. Grant, you ended, I think, in the perfect place. And I'm so glad that I already knew what you were going to answer and how you're going to respond to that. But I'm glad that you did. You talked about the answer is, at this point, the proclamation of the gospel. And I think that's so important because you mentioned this void where the church sort of steps away from culture and doesn't speak the truth into culture. And so Margaret Sanger leaps into that and just does so much devastation. And so here we are now with the result of a lot of her labor and many other people and the things that she was able to get into effect. And we have 60 million dead babies behind us and counting. 3,000 babies a day are murdered in our nation. Planned Parenthood is killing about 1,000 of those babies a day. And we often see people in the pro-life movement, Dr. Grant, do just what you said. They'll say things like, we just need to convince people biologically that it's a human, and then they won't want to kill it, or they argue statistics, or they talk about, you know, cleaner abortion clinics and widening the hallways. They talk about, you know, that's sort of like, you know, let's attack this in a way where we take a backdoor approach. And I'll just mention quickly, Dr. Grant, that last year I was able to get an interview with the vice president of National Right to Life. And he said explicitly in that interview, and he wasn't at all ashamed of it. This is just their perspective. He said they don't want to call it murder. Right. And he said they want to take a backdoor approach and not use Christian language. They don't want to use the word of God. They just essentially want to convince people that it's biologically a human. Can you speak to that? Because from my perspective as a Christian, as a minister of the gospel, that's not going to accomplish enough to where we change human hearts, where people... and the Bible says those who hate me love death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Romans 3, go ahead.
My question always to somebody who makes that argument is, well, how's that working for you so far?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here we are, an entire generation has gone by as we've made that argument, as we've tried the incremental approach. And hey, I'm grateful for any incremental approaches that we achieve. I'm not satisfied with them.
Right.
And I'm not going to put my effort and energy into those things.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to despise the day of small beginnings.
Right.
I appreciate a step-by-step approach. But in American history, we actually have had a successful pro-life movement in the past, in the 1870s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And 90s.
Interesting.
When abortion was legal, when there were a flourishing abortion trades, when peddlers were taking abortifacient pills all the way to the Pacific, from manufacturers in Ohio and New York. And a pro-life movement arose, a coalition of politicians, lawyers, doctors, and pastors, led by the pastors, starting with Brick Presbyterian Church in New York City, and a very, very prominent pro-life newspaper in New York City called the New York Times. And together, they transformed the whole picture of medical practice in the U.S., created the American Medical Association, banned abortion, and banned all kinds of other lewd and manipulative medical practices. And it was forthright, and it was unapologetic in proclaiming the gospel from the start. Hmm. That's the only time we've seen a successful pro-life movement in the history of the United States. But we don't have to stop there. We can go back through the age of Christendom. Whenever the horrors of abortion, infanticide, Sartre, human sacrifice, any time that has been overcome as a cultural norm and banned altogether to the point that it was altogether taboo, has been when the gospel has been proclaimed.
Mm. Yes.
The gospel's the only possible answer.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think you hit the nail on the head there, Dr. Grant. How important is it that this starts with the churches and, you, as you said, with pastors?
Yeah, it's got to start from the pulpits. It's got to start from the way we understand the scriptures. It's got to start from the way we understand what our legacy as Christians are. It's got to start with our understanding of what missions actually is. And it's got to start there, or it's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. So if we put our trust in the political process, in one more Supreme Court judge, and a host of other things that, the incremental steps that are taken in state legislatures, which, again, I'm grateful for any halt to the bloodletting.
Yes.
But that's not an answer.
Right.
That's merely a step along the way toward the actual answer.
Yeah.
So if we're going to have the answer, it's got to start in the church. Mm. And it's got to start in a local church that's small and simply is faithful in proclaiming the gospel and changing one life at a time, one disciple at a time, going forth into the world to affect their arenas and disciplines one at a time. That's the way it's always done.
Praise God.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, and we agree, Dr. Grant. Yeah. Obviously, we're all very, very grateful for every child that God saves through some incremental legislation, but it's in terms of principle, right? Like if you just fight for that in terms of principle, well, then you're losing the whole battle because you're just losing the message. Mm-hmm. What's actually happening? We're murdering children. And,
I was asked one time by the Speaker of the House of the state of Tennessee if a particular measure that they were fighting for. And I was asked to come and speak. And the question was, Dr. Grant, will you now be satisfied? If we pass this piece of legislation, will you be satisfied? And my response was, oh, no, of course not. It's one step along the way. Mm-hmm. It's a right step. It's a good step, but it's not a sufficient step.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just the start.
That's right. That's right. Well, praise Amazing. God. We're grateful for you, Dr. Grant, and we're looking forward to doing a lot more with you. And I want you to be encouraged. I know that you're always very busy, and you do mm-hmm. you do so much work, and you've invested so much of your life in the kingdom of God and education and proclaiming the gospel and telling the history of God's providence. And I just want you to be encouraged. There's so much of your work that has affected us, affected my own family personally, and God is using to change the world, brother. So keep fighting.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Lord have mercy, church have courage.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll hope to talk to you soon, brother.
Bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless. All right. Well, hey, fantastic, right, guys?
Yeah.
So there you go. So that was Dr. George Grant.
Amazing.
Everybody, thank you so much for watching. We're going to do what we can to get the information from this into hands of as many people as possible and before as many people as possible. Encourage you, truly encourage you guys to get Killer Angel. You can get it at kingsmeadow.com. You can, of course, also get it on Amazon. It's not a very, very big book, so it's not overwhelming. My son Sage, he read it. He said it was very, very good. Hey, what about that situation with the pro-life movement in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s?
I didn't know that.
New York Times?
What's up, New York Times?
American Medical Association?
Sounds like the New York Times needs to repent.
Sounds like Christianity has changed your world, right? Hey, what? It's but amazing. Here, okay, can I just, let's just finish with this thought. How crazy is it that we're always talking about that? We're always talking about, like, you have Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard. Now you hear about New York Times, American Medical Association, all like the work of Christians in history, right? And you go, what in the world happened? Because now you don't see the New York Times as the bastion of things pro-life and Christian.
Right.
And, these are gifts that Christianity, the church, gave to the world. Right. And look, and the, where we're at now is this complete revolution has taken place. All these institutions that the church built taken over.
Right.
And I think that just that says so much. And I hope, I mean, in some measure, what God is doing through ministries like Dr. Grant's and Apologia Church is really planting those seeds.
And I agree.
Do think we're starting to see the buds, like little things, like coming out.
Right.
That's my hope.
I think even just, I think that those little first fruits are even just us considering it a worldview issue and not attacking just the issue. Because, well, Dr. Grant said it very well that she had a specific worldview that she was propagating.
Yep.
And I think it was in, what was it? She would release this little publication. I think it was called The Woman Rebel. And a very popular slogan that they would use in that was no gods, no masters. And I think that's a great representation of her worldview.
Yeah, and the feminism that currently exists.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, that is the world we live in today. No gods, no masters. Right?
Yeah.
Right. There's obviously some subtleties to that we could get into, but we don't. But obviously we don't subscribe to that worldview. We would say one god, one master. Right? So like that's where the issue exists. Of course, there's all these little offshoots of what's really going on, but like that's the big thing with Margaret Sanger is she managed to get this worldview going, and we don't have to abide by that worldview. We don't believe it. It's not true.
So here's something that brings me encouragement, because you know, there's just no question. I know what God says He's going to do in the world. I know it says that Jesus is going to win, and I know that no one can thwart God's kingdom and His sovereignty. But, you know, you have to confess to the taxing element of it all when you look around you and you see a culture that just betrays so much of our history and the work of the gospel that happened here. And you see just so much just evil. I mean, all like, did you see today the thing that David Daladine released today?
New
video?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just horrifying.
First thing
I woke up to this morning, I see that. I play that video and I'm just, I honest to God, like I don't always get tears in my eyes, but I got tears in my eyes. I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And that's the result of the work of a woman like this.
Yes.
Right? But here's, okay, so my point is like, you look at it and you go, oh my goodness, this monstrosity. Like it's horrible. And it does take your breath away sometimes.
Yeah.
You're like, how in the world are we going to overcome this? But I just want to say, I do consider at times that you look at the work of someone like Margaret Sanger and other revolutionaries like her, and the truth is that you are able to completely transform a culture within a generation.
Right.
Now, here's my point. If it can happen with unbelievers in a generation so quickly, then it certainly can happen with the truth and the work of the gospel and the church. It can happen, but it has to start.
Absolutely.
So it's like that moment in the interview just now with Dr. Grant where he says, you know, she's doing all this stuff and like it's revolution, it's sexual revolution, it's eugenics, population control, all these different things. Like, and she comes into it and he just mentions it and then there's the void of the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church just like goes, well, I'm not gonna say anything, not gonna fight. Like, I'm not really gonna get into this and really resist.
That's a huge problem, because look at the weakness of these arguments.
Terrible.
Like, is there any rationalization for Margaret Sanger being a hero? No. There's none other than, well, we're just going to kind of act like she didn't do a lot of stuff.
Right.
Like, that's such a weak argument.
Right.
Right.
Like, that's not an argument at all. All it would take is for someone to say, she was not a hero.
Right.
She wasn't.
Nope.
Right.
She wasn't great.
If you want to believe she was, okay, but you're deluded.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, we have heroes. We have real heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And she is celebrated all the time. Hillary Clinton, that's my hero. Every year the award.
Which I just don't understand. Is there like some shortage of reproductive rights heroes? Like why could they find anyone else other than a racist?
Well, no, and it's interesting, like now that you mentioned it.
She was friends with Nazis.
Shortage.
Well, it's like, and it's, so we'll talk, we'll finish, I guess we'll finish with this thought. So I'm reading this book right now by Dr. Willie Parker. He is the most famous abortionist in the world. He says in his book, he sees as many as 25, 30 to 50 women a day. He travels from like Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. He's an itinerant abortionist. And so he goes back and forth. Well, this is his book. It's like 130 some odd pages, Life's Work, A Moral Argument for Choice. I think I'm thinking about doing a response to it called Life's Dirt. Anyway, so Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, gives the plug for it. Gloria Steinem, and they're like, it's such a wonderful book. I wish everyone in America would read this book.
Of course they all do.
And it's, let me just say, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's poorly written. The guy is a narcissist. He's just praising himself throughout the book, and he thinks he's a martyr. And these are their heroes. These are their heroes, this guy.
Right.
I've listened to hours of the man talking now. And these are their heroes. And let me just say right now, they're not giants.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Yeah. No gods, no masters.
Mm-hmm.
Does not play out.
Yeah.
Long term.
Right.
It doesn't look.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. Here's really a guy who's killing babies every single day by the dozens,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't have a coherent argument. It's not compelling. It doesn't draw you in. It's not exciting. He's just a guy that's he has the ability to be very erudite, and he's soft-spoken. He's a good-looking man, handsome guy, salt and pepper beard, you know, older guy in his 50s, black guy. And so they go, oh, there's a guy that can represent us. Here's a guy that murders babies on the daily.
Right.
And he seems so pleasant, like, and winsome. And so there's our hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's awful and not impressive. Let me just say it.
Right.
Well, it's funny, Joy, you mentioned there's like a shortage. Of,
right.
You know, and remember the second to last video that Daladin released? They were at the George Tiller like memorial dinner.
Right.
And, you know, here's a guy, an abortionist that was murdered. And so they had a memorial dinner for this guy who, you know, like Willie Parker was one of the most famous abortionists. And
mm-hmm.
it's just.
Yes.
So backwards.
Right. Yeah. And them being a hero is reliant right. on people just. Pretending
mm-hmm.
a bunch of stuff doesn't happen
yeah.
or ignoring bad arguments. I don't know. Like, what constitutes a hero these days? You agree with me. You tell me what mm-hmm. I want to hear. You're my hero.
Right.
That's not a hero.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Even literally speaking, the word does not mean like you just agree with, you say what I say, you do what I
it's
want.
It's an echo chamber saying right. you're my hero.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. I got the book and I thought, there's some potential stuff in the future that might happen. And so I was like, well, I need to read this man's arguments and be ready for it. And I have to say, thoroughly, and I don't mean this in any braggadocious right. way, or I'm not trying to be nasty, mean spirit, but thoroughly unimpressed.
Hmm. Right.
There is,
you feel prepared.
There's nothing to deal with. It's just yeah. literally the most adolescent, elementary level kind of arguments. And it's just poor. And my thought is only the judgment of God could allow something like this to happen, that yep. a man like this could kill this many babies a day and could be this well-known author and hero to this movement, and it's nothing. I mean, a woman spoke in one of his things almost in tears of how grateful she was for his work and his talk and how it really moved her, and I'm like, wow. There's really, the bar is not set very high, guys.
No.
So the church just needs to get involved.
Not only do they approve, but they applaud.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. So again, thank you so much for everything you're doing to make everything we do possible. So thank you very, very much. Thank you for those of you guys that have been with us again from the very beginning. Everything you guys do means so much for us to us. So thank you. Let somebody know. By the way, we are right now working on Apologia Studios, the new website. It is actually underway. We're nearing the tail end of that work now. So Apologia Studios, the page itself is going to get revamped, and it's going to be easy to access and just very, very pleasing to look at. And so lots of stuff happening there. Let somebody know about Apologia All Access. Tell them to sign up, guys. We have lots more really great content planned for this next year. I won't announce something very special next, but it's underway right now. Discussions are underway for a really great new academy that I think will bless your life. So that's happening. And thank you. So Joy the Girl, Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Marcus King Ginger. Thank you to to Gabe and to Carmen for all that they do doing the cameras. You guys never see them or get to really acknowledge them, but they're here. And so thank you guys for your work. And we'll catch you guys next week on Apologia TV.